an account of her father's last morning in New York. She reads it again. The third time through, it begins to cohere for her. Wynne had come to New York to meet with a rival crowd safety firm. His patents would be secure soon, and he'd come unsatisfied with the firm he'd been developing them with. There were potential legal complications inherent in a move, and he had arranged to meet with the president of the rival firm in their offices at 90 West Street on the morning of September 11th to discuss this. He had, as the Mayflower bellman had always maintained, gotten a cab. Case sits looking at the license number of that cab now, at the Cambodian's driver's name, his registration, telephone. The collision had occurred in the village, the cab pulling south into Christopher. Minor damage to the cab, more damage to the other vehicle, a caterer's van. The driver of the cab, whose English was minimal, had been at fault. And she herself headed downtown by train to arrive early for her own meeting. How close might she have passed? And had he seen the towers as he'd climbed from the cab, the morning beautiful and clear? He'd handed the cab driver $5 and gotten into an off-duty limo, the Cambodian anxiously copying the limo's plate number. He knew that Wynne, his fare, would know that he had been at fault. In court, the driver had lied successfully and gotten off, and then he'd lied again to the police, when they'd interviewed cabbies looking for Wynne, and again to the detectives Case had hired. He'd picked up no fare at the Mayflower. He hadn't seen the man in the picture. Case looks at the name of the Dominican driver of the limo. More numbers. The name, address, and telephone number of his widow in the Bronx. The limo had been excavated from rubble 3 days later, the driver with it. He had been alone. There was still no evidence. The unknown and awkwardly translated writer concluded that Wynne was dead, but there was abundant evidence placing him on or near the scene. Additional inquiries indicated that he had never arrived at 90 West. The petal falling from the dried rose. Someone raps lightly on the door. She gets up stiffly, unthinking, and opens it, the blue papers in her hand.
"Party time," says Parkaboy, holding up a liter bottle of water. "Remembered I hadn't told you the tap's a bad bet." His smile fades.
"What's up?" "I'm reading about my father. I'd like some water, please."
"Did they find him?"
He knows the story of Wynne's disappearance from their correspondence. He goes into the bathroom and she hears him pouring water into a tumbler. He comes back out and hands it to her.
"No."
She drinks, splutters, starts to cry, stops herself.
"Volkov's people tried to find him and got a lot further than we ever did. But he's not here."
She holds up the blue sheets.
"He's not here either."
And then she starts to cry again, and Parkaboy puts his arms around her and holds her.